I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Gilly Houston.
And I'm Donna Yen.
And we're editors at Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine that celebrates women and food. Today's show is brought to you by École Chocolat, the online school for those looking to become chocolate makers or chocolate experts. Be sure to check out their site at écolechocolat.com. In case you hadn't noticed, we aren't the usual shows, the hosts of the show, but Carrie and Claudia are taking a break this week and put a perhaps naive amount of trust in us by giving us the reins to the radio show today. Bum, bum, bum. So either this will go swimmingly and they'll both swear off radio hosting forever, or we'll both be out of jobs tomorrow.
Knock on wood.
So we'll see how it goes. But to our advantage, today's show is all about a subject that I think we both say we're very well versed in, and that's pizza.
We both live in New York, which is arguably the pizza center of the universe. No offense, Italians. So we're definitely not strangers to a good slice. Gilly girl, what are some of your go-to pizza spots?
Ooh, I think that's, for New Yorkers, that's the hardest question you can ask. But I definitely have my favorites. I love Prince Street's spicy pepperoni slice. I love Roberta's, and I'm not just saying that because we're currently sitting in Roberta's watching people eat pizza about 5 feet from us. But actually, my favorite pizza spot isn't in New York at all. It's in my home state of Colorado, and it's this small pizza chain in the mountains called Bojo's, which makes Colorado-style pizza, which has this insanely thick crust that's about 40% of the pie, and when you're finished eating the toppings, you peel open the crust and fill it with honey squeeze bottles that are on every table, and it's like pizza and dessert rolled into one, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh my goodness, that sounds so good.
How about you?
My favorite pizza spot has to be Lucali in Carroll Gardens, hands down. I mean, you don't need to go too crazy on toppings with a good pizza. I think I always order just shallots and extra basil, and it is sublime. And a fun fact, it's also Jay-Z and Beyonce's favorite pizza joint. So if it's good enough for Beyonce, it's good enough for me. And also, I'm not going to lie, I do love myself a good dollar slice. When you're starving, you have no money, and just some pocket change, that's when a good dollar slice hits the spot.
Same, same. Okay, well, the two of us could definitely sit here and talk about pizza all day, but we do have two fabulous guests on today's show who seriously know their pizza. Now, I will say for the sake of transparency that the show is going to be incredibly biased because I'm already a big fan of both of these women. Our first guest is a yoga instructor and published poet, and just so happens to own one of the most popular restaurants in Brooklyn right now, the eponymous Emily. This spot has made a name for itself not only for its fantastic creative pies by Chef Matt Hyland, but its legendary burger, which has been praised as one of the best in New York by Eater, Thrillist, The Infatuation, and many, many more. Emily Hyland, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hi, gals. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's always so lovely to see you. I feel like you're such a calming presence. Me and Donna were so nervous this morning, and you were just the chill that we needed to begin this show.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And so not only do you own this bustling restaurant, and you guys are in the process of opening a second restaurant, but you have all these other side businesses. So how do you stay so calm in the face of all these things that you have on your literal and figurative plate?
I think, depending on who you talk to, that level of calm might change. You speak to my husband, it might be a different story. But I, you know, as you had mentioned, I practice and teach yoga, and just finding centering breath is a pivotal part of my day. You know, I could easily break down in panic at any given moment, but just a nice inhale and exhale if I'm dealing with a challenging guest or a vendor or just have so much on my plate is basically all I can do, and it's really helpful.
Totally. So when did you first get into yoga? Was that before or after the restaurant came about? Because I know Matt, shout out to Matt, Emily's husband, he creates the most amazing pizzas and he's always changing it up. Just last night, me and Donna were there eating insanely delicious pie with pineapple kimchi and chorizo and all these delicious things. And I'm assuming you get to taste test a lot of this. So So is yoga a big part to you staying healthy? And, you know, because if I was in your position, I would weigh about 600 pounds by now, most likely.
I've been practicing yoga since before I'm married, so over 8 years. But oh, wow. Let's just say before Emily opened, I was in the best shape of my life. And I've eaten an amazingly large amount of pizza since it's opened. So finding that healthy balance is not as easy as it might seem it could be, and that's something I struggle with very really on a daily basis as a woman who's, you know, pulled very thin and mostly eating carbohydrates.
Absolutely. Well, you can burn off all those carbohydrates with yoga. It's the perfect pairing. So taking it back to that opening, when did the idea not only to open a restaurant, but a pizza restaurant come about? Were you always interested in food, or was it always something that you and Matt discussed since you first met?
Matt and I have always been pizza eaters. According to our bio on the website, which I wrote, which is pretty amazing in retrospect when I was writing it, the first three meals we ate together were pizza, I kid you not, sitting in the dorm, our first dinner date, and then just heading out on like an afternoon to take some pictures on the beach one day, eating at a local like slice joint type of shop like you had mentioned. And so it's always been part of our experience together. And when Matt was working at Sotto Casa in downtown Brooklyn, where he really learned how to make pizza, he really zoomed in and focused on that being what he wanted to do with his life. It was like that eureka moment. And so I had resigned from my role in the Department of Education so that I could pursue yoga. And I had a lot of space in my life to support his venture and our dream of working together and you know, just making something for ourselves and for others.
Amazing. So do you remember what was on that first pizza you guys were?
Pepperoni and olive.
Nice. So is that still a pizza you guys like to go back to?
That's
time and time again.
That's one of Matt's favorite combinations. I've gravitated towards some of the toppings that he's experimented with at Emily, like the honey you mentioned that we have on some of our pies. Mm-hmm. Honey on anything for me is a winner. So
yeah, totally. Now, obviously, marriage isn't easy for anyone, and owning a restaurant definitely isn't easy. So how do you guys keep that balance between your partnership in business and your partnership in life and sort of make sure that you have a happy, peaceful marriage when in the face of, you know, the stressful business that is the restaurant business?
That's also an incredible challenge. And to be very transparent, opening Emily was two of the hardest years of our marriage. We've been together since I'm 18, you know, so since college. I was Matt's RA. We've been together almost, 15 years. And this was some of the most tumultuous times in terms of finding that balance and realizing that we're people who love each other above and beyond being business partners. You know, coming home, if you had a bad day at work and want to vent about, you know, your partner who's acting like a jerk, you can't do that because that's your husband or your wife, you know, and then you find yourself out to dinner or having pillow talk or whatever, and it's all about work. So I feel like my ability to communicate has really evolved since we've opened the restaurant together, and we've become a lot better at listening to each other and just growing in this new facet of our relationship. So, and we're still married.
Still going.
Going strong.
So how do you sort of separate that? I'm assuming you guys have other hobbies that you sort of have to say, let's step out of the restaurant, let's step away from pizza or other things you guys like to eat. I know you guys like to explore the Brooklyn food scene a lot. So what are some of your favorite things to do in Brooklyn outside of that and favorite spots to check out?
Yeah, one of our favorite communal hobbies is definitely going out to dinner together. And we do try to eat our way around the city. In Brooklyn, we've really enjoyed eating at the Finch, which is in the neighborhood where Emily is. It's really classic, clean American fare, and they're really warm and inviting there. So that's a nice option. And when we do want to get back to our pizza roots, we'll go back to Sotto Casa, where Matt used to work. We love French Louis and Buttermilk Channel. We're very good friends with the owners of those restaurants.
Ooh, Buttermilk Channel.
Yeah, the biscuit at brunch there is amazing.
Yeah, and the fried chicken.
Still carbohydrates. can't escape. So, yeah, we love to anything that opens up that we can support and learn about. Ganso Yaki is another really good Japanese small plate place in our neighborhood that we eat at a lot. And it's fun to just see the scene and what's going on.
Totally. Would you guys ever consider opening a spot in Manhattan? Or are you Brooklyn through and through?
Manhattan scares me. It's expensive. Yeah. It's really high stakes. We're very much Brooklyn people. We're pretty laid back and just sort of what you see is what you get. And so for now, we'll be in Brooklyn. You know, even the step to Williamsburg with the new spot is like a whole new world of, you know, people and experiences. And we want to stay true to our roots as just being Brooklyn-based people, doing something local and smaller than, you know, some sort of massive big Manhattan restaurant.
Absolutely. And your restaurant really does have such a cozy, intimate feel. You really feel like you're stepping into the home of someone that you're friends with and,
yeah,
and can go and enjoy.
Thank you. That's exactly what we wanted to hit upon. So I'm so glad we did.
Perfect.
We wanted it
Nailed
to feel
it.
Yeah, like an extension of our home dining room. So mm-hmm. I'm glad it comes across that way.
Absolutely.
Well, besides pizza, we need to talk about the burger.
Yes. Like, that burger.
So Gilly was telling me about the restaurant. I'm like, I've never been to Emily. She's like,
I was like, hold up. You need to go to Emily right now and eat the Emmy burger because it's, in my opinion, the best burger in New York.
Like, pizza? I thought it was about the pizza. And she's like, no, it's the burger. It's also really good. So yesterday, you can imagine, we were walking home, like, just, oh my goodness. We
so
had pizza,
stuffed.
Burger, everything. It was so delicious. Yeah.
But so how did that come about that at a place that primarily serves pizza that you started selling this burger and it just became such a phenomenal hit? I mean, everyone talks about the Emmy burger.
Let's talk about the Emmy burger. What's on it?
Why don't you explain?
Sure. So the Emmy burger is an all-beef patty from dry-aged, grass-fed beef from Fleischer's, who are our neighbors down in Park Slope is where they have their store, with a one-year-aged Grafton cheddar, sautéed onions, and our house Emmy sauce on a pretzel bun from Tomcat that's brought in fresh daily.
Amazing.
Good stuff.
So when was that on the menu since the beginning, or was that sort of something that came about and was developed?
So it was developed because Matt was really getting tired of eating pizza. I haven't hit that cap yet. I'm waiting for that to happen. Maybe within the first 6 months, he was really antsy to have other things to eat at the restaurant for himself, and he loves burgers, and so he's like, going to put a burger on the menu, mostly for me. And then it really evolved into what it is now. He and the guys in the kitchen really worked to perfect the Emmy sauce, which I really enjoy to eat and is just something I could swim in, I think. So it's evolved over time, and I feel like it's gotten this really cool cult following, and I'm really glad people come in and enjoy it. We also have the sort of secret burger pizza mm-hmm. that's sometimes available as a special and play with the sauce in other capacities at different times when we run specials.
Yeah, speaking of cult followings, I know that the Emmy Burger actually has its own fan Instagram page that the person reposts only Emmy Burgers.
We actually don't know who that is. It's really driving us nuts.
It's like your secret admirer, except for the secret admirer of your burger.
We'll have to figure it out soon for sure.
Can you give us any like hint as to what is in the Emmy sauce? Because I feel like
secret
it's...
secret Emmy sauce.
Yeah. So if you've had the wings, have you had the wings?
Yes.
Yeah. So
also amazing.
Yeah, that wing sauce is like a Korean barbecue style sauce. So that's the base of the Emmy sauce, which is an aioli. So it's blended with mayo. And that's the key sort of flavor profile of it.
Totally. So you mentioned you get your beef from right down the street at Fleischer's. So do you guys source a lot of your ingredients locally? Or where do you get a lot of your ingredients?
So we try as much as possible to have transparency in our supply chain and source locally. We use Meyer's Produce. Annie Meyer is this awesome woman who used to be a forager for the Spotted Pig and would go down to the Green Market and get all the fresh things and bring them back. Mm-hmm. And she's expanded that concept to her own company now where she does that all over farms in New England. So we get beautiful greens and vegetables and that sort of thing from her seasonally from those sorts of farms. And then we get our basil for all of the pizzas and most of our lettuces for the salads from Gotham Greens, which is the hydroponic sustainable greenhouse on top of the Whole Foods in Gowanus.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. And we get gorgeous, you know, gorgeous greens year round is a real treat. So those are two real vendors that we use that really encourage that sort of traceability.
Totally. And it's probably one of the best parts of your job is going to get to explore the vendors in Brooklyn and beyond and find new fresh ingredients to use.
For sure. And to be honest, Matt does a lot of that. When I'm finding new vendors, it's mostly in the realm of wine and curating the wine list. So,
which is also not too shabby
not
of
too
a job.
Shabby at all. So I do that, but he's the one who's really hyper-focused on cultivating the food that we offer. I just eat it and smile.
That sounds like a good job to me. So speaking of your pizza, you guys are opening a second shop soon that's a slightly different concept called Emmy Squared.
We are.
So could you tell us a little more about that and what people can expect and how it's going to be different than your current spot?
Sure. We're really excited for Emmy Squared. I was there all morning, going back there all afternoon, and we should hopefully be open mid-April. We're getting really excited. What you'll see is you'll see square pizzas that are Detroit-inspired so that they're cooked in a pan. They have a really cheesy sort of fried crust, a very crispy bottom, an airy middle, and then one of the signature characteristics is they have two stripes of sauce that go on post-bake on the top. So it might look like to New Yorkers Sicilian pizza, but it's actually much lighter in the body of the pizza and much crunchier, like one of those like Parmesan sticks you might get in the best way possible, like at a cocktail party or whatever, on the edges. So that's the pizza, and that'll have a fun array of toppings like at Emily. And then we'll have strong sandwiches like an Italian combo, a chicken parm, a spicy chicken sandwich, which I think you ladies got to taste last night. And a huge beverage program. We have 21 tap lines, so lots of wine and beer on tap, and it'll be fun.
That sounds fantastic. I cannot wait to try it. So if you'll remember, Emily is a published poet. So when did you start writing poetry, and how did you get into that?
I've been writing terrible poems in my journals since as long as I could write. And then I was actually going through a journal from high school the other day and looking at just the sappy, awful stuff that is in there. It's terrible. But so I've always been writing. And then when I was in college, I had this amazing creative writing professor. My mom had encouraged me to take a creative writing class, and he really changed my life. And I majored in creative writing there. And then I did my MFA at Brooklyn College in poetry. So yeah, I've published a handful of things, and I hope to. I've started writing a bunch of poems about restaurant life. Those have sort of bubbled up, so I'm interested to compile that manuscript and see what that looks like in the next year or two. So haven't written as much as I've wanted to since the restaurant opened, but you know, usually in times of tumult are when I write best, and so yeah. There's a lot of chaos in opening a restaurant that will be fodder for new work.
Absolutely. Well, I did ambush Emily when she walked in here and asked her if she could write us on the spot a Radio Cherry Bomb haiku. So I think she has one ready.
All
no
right.
Pressure, but
let's
take
see.
It away.
So here we go. Here with Cherry Bomb, hot girls in the house, pizza on the brain, of course.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh, that was great.
So now it's time for everyone's favorite part of the show. We're talking speed round, baby.
So for any first-time listener, the speed round is a series of questions, and you just give us your gut reaction in a few words or less. So, Emily, you ready?
I think so.
Cheese or pepperoni?
Cheese.
Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Oh, these are so easy. Backstreet Boys.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
What's in your freezer right now?
Oh, duck ragu.
What's your death row meal?
Like a gallon of ice cream.
Oh, so speaking of ice cream, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, Ben and Jerry's fish food.
Nice. And your dream vacation spot?
Willamette Valley, Oregon.
Ah. Well, Emily, thank you so much for being here. Definitely let us know when we can come for a taste test at Emmy Squared. And we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Thank you.
Come on, look around. Do you love chocolate? Turn your passion into a profession with École Chocolat School of Chocolate Arts. This award-winning school offers many programs for chocolate making, so you can master techniques and gain the expertise and business knowledge you need to become a professional chocolate maker. You'll create mouth-watering chocolate recipes from professional instructors while interacting with your classmates and tutors, all online. Become a chocolate expert with École Chocolat via your computer, phone, or tablet. Pursue your passion for chocolate. Visit écolechocolat.com today.
Welcome back. Google Hot Girls Eating, and the image's results mostly consist of bikini-clad women sensually eating a burger, hot dog, or the occasional slice of pizza. Our next guest is the creator of the Instagram account Hot Girls Eating Pizza. But trust us when we say it's not what you think. Her tasteful photo project aims to highlight the young, successful, and entrepreneurial women of New York City in a fun and sexy way. On her feed, you will see Polaroids of pizzas being devoured by all kinds of girl bosses, from musicians to fashion editors, and even our first guest, Emily. So, Marta Friedman, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thanks for having me.
So, let's start with, how did the idea for Hot Girls Eating Pizza come about? I read somewhere that the idea came to you actually here at Roberta's.
Oh, yeah, that was a funny article. Actually, it came to me about 3 years ago now, and I was just thinking of taking pictures of random girls at random pizzerias on a disposable camera, and then somehow I just changed my mind one day and began using a mini like instant camera, and then it just kind of all organically happened where I would take the photo and then put it on top of the pizza and then take an iPhone photo of the Polaroid on top of the pizza. It sounds confusing, but it ended up being a really simple idea that I could just keep up with.
And who are some of these women that are on these pizzas?
Yeah, I mean, it is so broad. I feature, like you said, like musicians to actresses, to nail artists, to artists in general, to CEOs, to entrepreneurs, to a few of my friends. It's just really cool, and I kind of use it as like a networking kind of tool to meet cool girls that I really just want to meet and talk with. And luckily, a lot of people like pizza, so it works out that way.
So actually, not to toot my own horn and call myself a cool girl, but I realized last night, and I even scrolled back through Instagram, the first time I met Marta was about a year ago, like to this week, and we actually met at Emily.
Yeah.
And so it all came full circle that now I'm here today with you and Emily,
yeah,
and
it's so
I just
funny.
Remember being so nervous. I was coming in on like the train from Long Island from school, and anyone who knows me knows I'm the least cool person in the world, but I was trying to be cool because I knew Marta would be awesome.
Oh my God.
And I showed up and I was like, wow, this girl, she is so cool. She's such a girl boss and she's highlighting all these amazing women. And then here I am like, hi.
Oh my God, I'm blushing. You can't see it, but I'm blushing. Beet red.
But I'm so glad we met because I really do think the people you highlight are just so amazing and it's such a cool, fun project.
Thank you.
So what have been some of your highlights in terms of like, I'm sure there's been women you've met who you're like, pinch me. I never thought I had the chance to hang out with this woman.
Just adjust this really quick. Okay. So it's always hard to really pinpoint. I really kind of have to think back and go through my feed. I do go on like 4 or 5 pizza dates a week, and I'm meeting like 20 girls a month, not counting when I have events, which is like so many more. So I feel like I'm constantly being blown away by all of these girls that are just killing it in whatever they choose to do, or they have a really amazing, like, I feel like Instagram is so important because you connect so easily with other people, and it's just from there, like meeting them in real life, you already have a glimpse of who they are. And then you can talk about why they began a business or why they got into art when they worked in like a finance field. It's just really great. So I feel like everyone kind of, to go back to your question, I feel like everyone blows me away. And it's really hard to pick one or two.
Absolutely.
I learn from everyone that I meet.
Definitely. And we were just talking to Emily about the fact that obviously an important part of her job is taste testing pizza, and an important part of your job is going on pizza dates, as you call them.
Four pizza dates a week is a lot of pizza for anyone to handle.
Yeah. So how do you sort of balance health-wise going and meeting all these, because you sort of have to eat the pizza, and you want to because it's all so good. You go to amazing places.
Right, and that's a really good question, and I'm always trying to keep it in check. Like, I have definitely gained a few pounds from Hot Girls over the past 2 years, and I do eat more carbs and cheese than I used to consume. But if it's like we're going to a place like Joe's, or like a place where I can get like a slice, like Two Boots, I usually don't eat the pizza. But if we're going to a dinner and or it's a place that I haven't been to, then I'll dabble, but I'll try to also get a salad. But I do work out every day, and I will tell you, it's not enough. Like, pizza, you're not supposed to eat it every day, but it's where I am right now.
Totally. So you obviously do eat at a lot of different places in the city. So what are some of your, if you had to pick, favorite?
Oh, man. If you're literally, like, forcing me off a cliff and I have to pick, I do a rotation. Gigi's, Roberta's, Emily, they're, like, always heavy in my, like, favorites. But a lot of times it's, like, down to convenience, and maybe it's more convenient to go to Two Boots or to go to Joe's, which I also love. But, I mean, I need to get better about trying new spots, because I'm not really good at that anymore, because I get in a routine.
So on top of your Instagram, you've done so many cool collaborations and fundraisers and parties, and I'm just wondering, what are some of the coolest collaborations you've done?
Oh, okay. So this is cool. I mean, I think Hot Girls Eating Pizza as a whole is so collaborative. So I love when there's a person that I meet and we can work together in some way, whether it's a party. Like, a friend of mine, Emmy, she has a thing called Emmy's House, where she interviews amazing bands and all these cool chicks, and we collaborate on events now and then. Or I also have a beauty line of nail art, and I met the CEO of Nasty Gal in August, and then they were carrying my product. So it's just like, there's so many really cool opportunities that have come out of Hot Girls.
And tell us more about your nail line. Is it decals?
Nail decals. The line is named after my mom. It's her nickname, Trixie. Oh. And this week I'm actually launching into iPhone cases, which I'm super pumped on.
Oh.
Yeah.
We have to get our
spoiler. Yeah. I'll definitely give you some.
So I know, I think Donna told me that a dollar from each of your Trixie nail decals goes towards breast cancer research.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There are two charities that I really like. And at the end of the year, I do that when I do my taxes and all that stuff. So it's been really fun.
Yeah.
And nice absolutely. To do that.
So you also, I know you guest DJ. You're kind of like one of those cool girls in Brooklyn who goes and guest DJs places and throws parties.
Yeah.
So how do you end up collaborating with all these people? And do they come to you and say, we want to throw a Hot Girls Eating Pizza-themed pizza party?
That's how it honestly began. I was working with a venue, and they were like, why don't you DJ? And I was like, I don't really know how, but I guess I'll learn in the next 24 hours. And then, I mean, I'm not a real actual DJ, but I feel like in Brooklyn, like, everyone's kind of a DJ, or everyone's kind of
a
photographer.
You can just throw on your Spotify.
But, like, I'm not that bad. I did teach myself pretty well that I'm comfortable doing it. But, yeah, I mean, I've kind of scaled down on having so many parties and events, just because I felt like I was beginning to work in, like, a nightlife thing that I didn't sign up for. But I still do love to have the occasional event.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I know you work full-time in the fashion industry.
I'm on a long lunch right now.
Taking an appointment right now.
Yeah.
So how do you sort of balance that, your passion project and work? Because I know a lot of women say to themselves, like, this is something I'd want to do, whether it be a blog or a side hustle or anything like that. But they're afraid to because it detracts from the time that they spend working. So how do you balance those two? And
that's a really great question, and I try to work on it every day because it's honestly really hard to balance. Like in the fall, I was pulling an all-nighter where I would not sleep for a night or two a month because I had to get a nail order out for an account, or oh, wow. I was out till 2 and I had a party, and then I had a few, like I had a few orders to fill. So I just think it's prioritizing your health and then trying to assess like what you can do, try to be most, I just try to be as efficient as possible at all times, which means I make 2 pizza dates in a night if I have to, or I make a meeting at lunch if I have to. So just trying to make it work. But I mean, I've also been talking about how it's important to really, if you have the hustle, it's important to keep your job because then it allows you to take more of a risk otherwise. Like, I'm making iPhone cases now. If Hot Girls Eating Pizza and my nail art line was my job, I feel like I'd be a little more apprehensive to take a risk making iPhone cases. So I feel like if you could do it all, you should, because you'll learn a lot through the process.
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of the women you feature are people who have multiple hats they're wearing.
Totally, yeah. I didn't really understand how common it was until Hot Girls Eating Pizza, which just makes it, I don't know, just a lot cooler.
Yeah.
When I meet all these girls and they're like, oh my God, I don't sleep either.
And I think that is a great thing to bond over, because I think young women nowadays, they don't just want to have their career. They don't just want to have a family. They don't just want to do this or that. You know, everyone has their creative projects that they're passionate about.
Absolutely.
So I think one of the great things about your account and anything that celebrates women, even Cherry Bomb, is that it really does foster a community where you can say, we're all women out here doing these projects that we're passionate about and embracing each other's projects and helping in any way we can.
Exactly. I totally agree.
So obviously there is that element that women eating, that I think you kind of pick fun of in your name, Hot Girls Eating Pizza.
Yeah.
But it's a little fetishized in the media. Obviously we all know advertisements of girls like writhing around on top of soapy cars with burgers. So do you ever get any people who maybe don't understand what you're trying to do, or they're critical of the idea of Hot Girls Eating Pizza as a brand?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like not as much as I would have thought. I was never apprehensive about choosing that name. I wanted a name that was a pun and that also caught your attention, and I feel like it does that. But I do think it's the kind of thing that you need to look at kind of and get a briefing on. But I feel like if you glance at the Instagram and just click a couple girls, you just kind of get the idea that they're girl bosses, and it's not about how they look. It's about other things. I don't know, but I am constantly tagged in like pictures of naked girls holding pizza over their boobs and everything you could think of. And it's usually by guys.
Yeah.
It's usually by people that don't understand.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I just remove myself from the photo. I don't want that on my tags.
I know when I mentioned you to Carrie as a possible radio guest, she first went to look up Hot Girls Eating Pizza and accidentally just went to Hot Girls Eating, which is a whole other kind of account.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't think this is the person you were. And then she got to your account and was like, oh no, this is really cool. This is tasteful. And you know, so
thank
it's
you.
Definitely, but I'm sure you do get your fair amount of random creepy dudes who...
I do. Yeah. One time it was really weird. A few months ago, this guy made a mixtape. He made a song about Hot Girls Eating Pizza, apparently, and he saw that I was having an event, and he went to the bar like a few hours prior to them opening and like dropped off a package for me, which was the mixtape, and it was just so weird. I've never played it. I've never opened it. I don't want to know, but like those things are a little weird sometimes.
So it's like the one man Hot Girl Eating Pizza fan club.
Yeah, but I do think because it is so empowering and positive, and I feel like I curate it to be that way, that I really don't have a lot of haters or a lot of people making it into the, you know, what I don't want it to be, which is like a different, I don't know how to articulate it, but you know what I mean.
And I think your bio even does say cool girls eating hot pizza.
Yes. A tasteful project, another pun.
Yeah.
Because it's tasteful food. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you had a lot of women come to you and reach out and say, I want to be on Hot Girls Eating Pizza?
I do. Yeah. I get like probably like 2 or 3 emails a week. I got 2 yesterday. It sucks because I'm so crazy busy now that I'm trying to rethink how I do pizza dates, because I obviously want to spend time with everyone, and it's just feel like I might try to do more of like a party thing, like once or twice a month where I invite everyone and we eat pizza. But I don't know, I just feel like I can't really overdo it, so I haven't really been getting pizza with the inquiries as much as like my aspirational girls that like I really want to meet and like pick their brains about everything. Just because I don't have a lot of time right now.
Who are some of those women, I mean, that you would like to have on there?
Oh, my God. Girls? I'm really dying to meet Eva Chen.
Oh,
I think she's the coolest. Vampire Diaries has been weirdly my obsession for the past 3 months. I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends for admitting that. But Nina is the coolest. She's in New York right now. And I tried to, like, DM her. Like, hey, like, if you're into
slide
pizza.
Slide into her DMs.
But it's really random. It's just, I don't know. And I rotate out who I follow, like, every other week. Because I always want to be inspired. I always want to see what else is out there. And I feel like it's good to evolve it in that way.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've been featured in a lot of great publications. What have been some of the highlights for you?
Oh, my God. Last year, Vogue mentioned me in an article, and I called my dad, and I cried. And looking back, I'm like, what? I cried. And then, like, Nylon happened probably about a year ago, and I was, like, head over heels because I grew up loving Nylon. Nylon was my Bible, and now, like, I hang out with all of them, and they're my good friends. So it's just funny how it all works that way. But, yeah, I mean, every time I get press, it's always nice, and I really, really appreciate it. It's awesome.
But that must have just been, I mean, who would have guessed you started an Instagram taking
photos, right?
Polaroids of girls on pizza, and now you're in Vogue.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. And then Rolling Stone had this, like, silly 100 best Instagram list last year, and I was, like, under Drake, like, right next to Drake. And, like, that, like, I freaked out about it for a few days.
This is the closest I'm ever going to be.
Exactly. I'm like, this is the closest I will ever be to him. But that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Great. So moving forward,
yeah,
I know you are so passionate about your brand and you want to grow things and expand, and you guys have your calendar every year.
Yeah.
But do you have any other projects that you would love to do, or maybe a coffee table book or something like that?
I would love to do a coffee table book. It's what I've been wanting to do for a while.
If any publishers are out there listening.
But I also really want to make a website. I have a domain, and it's just like a landing page. It has been for a year, and I need to get on that. I would love to make Hot Girls a tiny bit more editorial, because all the girls are so much more than like a caption that's just their name, a few emojis, and a hashtag. But people hate to read on Instagram. I've noticed it.
True.
Like, anytime I've tried, when you write a long caption, no one really reads it. So I would really like to do either like a small interview with a few girls and evolve it that way.
Yeah, because I do feel like sometimes I see girls and I'm like, whoa, and I click on her name and I'm like, this girl's amazing. She's so cool.
Yeah.
And she's doing so many cool things. So I feel like a site where you could explore more about these women would be
exactly
fantastic.
I really want to do that. That's my goal by probably like June, to have that and a few interviews up and running.
And do you look to expand? Like, I know you're expanding Trixie into iPhone cases. Is that something you also want to pursue?
I do. Yeah, I definitely want to expand Trixie. I don't really know what yet. And the ideas that I do have, I don't know if I want to talk about them yet. But it will definitely be growing, like, in the next couple months. And I'm really excited about it.
Top secret.
From my apartment where I work out
of. Hey, that's the entrepreneurial.
Yeah. I mean, I hand make every pack, which is crazy to me still. That I don't know. It's just so I make every pack by hand. Like, I print them off my computer, and then I cut them, and then I package them by hand every night. So when I have an order that's like 400 pieces, it's definitely going to take me a couple days after work when I get home at 11 from a pizza date to try to get it done. But I make it work.
Totally. Yeah, your nails look amazing.
Oh, my God.
I can't stop looking at them after talking about it. Like, if you can't, listeners, she's wearing nails that are, like, Rasta colored, and it's just beautiful, and, oh, my gosh, I want some decals.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have some, actually, for you.
Awesome.
I'll get them at the end, yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's about time we have for questions, but we do something called the speed round.
Oh, my God, I'm so scared.
You don't have to be scared.
Okay.
I tailored these questions
for you.
Thin crust or deep dish?
Thin.
Drake or Kanye? Speaking of Drake.
Drake.
Vodka or tequila?
Vodka.
If you got a ticket to fly anywhere right now in the world, where would you go?
New Zealand.
What is one thing you always keep in your fridge?
Oh, God. Water? I don't have any food in my fridge right now. It's really weird. Oh, I have chocolate, like special chocolate. I always keep that in my fridge.
What's your favorite kind of cereal?
My favorite kind of cereal? Reese's Cup, but it's hard to find now. I haven't had it in a few years.
The Puffs?
Yes.
Oh, I love
Reese's
those.
Puff cereal.
And what show are you binge watching right now?
Still Vampire Diaries.
Still Vampire
on the
Diaries.
DL.
Not so DL anymore. Now the whole world DL. Knows about it. Well, Marta, thank you so much.
Thank you for
joining
having
us.
Me. This was so nice.
Such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Make sure to follow her amazing Instagram account, Hot Girls Eating Pizza with a zero.
That was a zero. Yep.
Yes. And check out her nail decals from Trixie.
Trixie NYC on Instagram.
Amazing. For all our listeners out there, Emily has very generously offered up a dinner for two at Emily for One Lucky Listener. So check out our giveaway post today on Instagram at Cherry Bomb Mag for the chance to win.
And thanks to DJ Dave, our engineer, and big chocolate kisses to our sponsor, Ecole Chocolat. Check out the different classes they offer at ecolechocolat.com. If chocolate is your passion, you just might want to make it your profession. And thank you for listening and putting up with us Radio Cherry Bomb first timers. And as always, you're the bomb. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Sophia Alvarez, and I'm a playwright who loves food. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about this magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Annie Campbell of Annie Campbell Catering. Because even though she's a full-time chef and party planner, her favorite way to relax is still by cooking at home for friends.